reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and with the 9th verse. But just as it is written, things which eye have not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered in the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ, and soon be 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then God slipped up on my blind side and surprised me and called me to preach. No, I didn't want to be a preacher, but boy, howdy, I'm so glad he called me. Oh, I haven't always done everything he's wanted me to do, but I sure tried. I feel the way Paul does. Jesus is the most important thing in my life. Well, listen, hey, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Why don't you just kick off your slippers and pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee? See what the Lord has for us. We've got a bunch of snow here today. So let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'm using one verse of scripture tonight taken from the first chapter of the book of Acts, and with the 3rd verse. To these he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. You know, folks, this is one verse of scripture that many, many people are troubled about. You'd be surprised at those who profess to know the Lord that doesn't exactly, well, they're not sure the resurrection story is true. Well, I'm here to tell you that there are many infallible proofs of his resurrection. And the Bible says Christ is risen. Oh, you know, on Easter Sunday morning, when I was a little boy, believe it or not, there was a place in the Dalles called Pulpit Rock. It was above the old football field there. And people going out there early in the morning, in that cold weather, and listens to preachers preach about the resurrection. And that was I can remember that so many times in my memories, my folks going out there on that morning to hear about the resurrection of Jesus. Hey, he had promised his resurrection. Well, a lot of things that he promised that people said he didn't do, but whatever Jesus promised, he did it. And all the prophecies from the Old Testament talk about his virgin birth, born in a barn in a manger. There's a lot of things, but everything has come to pass. But the one thing we're looking forward to now, dear friends, is a second coming Christ, or the rapture of the church. And when I say the rapture of the church, you say, well, you mean the Catholic or the Baptist? No. When we are born again, we are born into the true church, the only true church. There's no true church on this earth, and there's sure no perfect church on this church. Because if it was perfect, well, it couldn't be, because you and I can belong to it. And we're not perfect people. Oh, you say, wait a minute, Brother Mo, wait a minute. I am perfect. I don't sin. And you're a liar on top of that. Yes, I don't mean that to be unkind, but if you say you're without sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you, according to Scriptures. But the Bible declares his resurrection. Now, I believe in the resurrection, and I'm hoping and praying that everyone listening to the broadcast tonight do. But now, those of you who are not born again, you might have a hard time believing it. But if you'll listen for just a few more minutes, we'll go over some scriptures and then you can find out for yourself. Well, like I say, some doubt the resurrection. They demand proof of the resurrection. Well, that's okay. We're going to give them the proof. I can't give them, but the Bible, the infallible Word of God. Friends, this is the only book in this whole world that you can stake your soul on. You can stake your everlasting life on. Everything that Jesus said he will do, he will do. Let's consider the proofs of the resurrection. First of all, we have the empty tomb. And remember, you know, when they buried Jesus in that tomb, they really honestly thought they'd got rid of him. And they put him in this barred tomb, and they've got this huge boulder, and they put it at the mouth of the tomb. There's no way one man or even five or six could get that rock away from there. So now they've got him in the tomb. Jesus is silenced and business as usual. However, the enemies of Christ remembered his promise of the resurrection. And we read in Matthew 26:63, "But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, 'I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God.'" Well, in verse 66, "What do you think?" they answered and said, "He is deserving of death." They had all the guards there. Nobody's going to get in there and get to Jesus' body. It's guarded. It's taken care of. And the tomb was officially sealed. Now, the friends of Jesus forgot his promise of resurrection. Folks, remember when the women came to the tomb to anoint his body, they were so concerned. That's what they did in those days, and they put perfume on it, and they did this and that. Well, as they came there, they found that he was gone. The tomb was empty. Now, friends, believe me, if that tomb was not empty, had Jesus not rose from the dead, you and I wouldn't have nothing to look forward to. Our faith would be absolutely in vain. See, even the friends of Jesus forgot his promise of the resurrection. Well, when these women came to the tomb to anoint his body, strange, even his enemies remembered, but his friends forgot. You know, Matthew Henry said, the great writer said, "Hate is keener sighted than love." But when the women arrived, the tomb was absolutely empty. Not a soul there. Even the soldiers admitted the tomb was empty. Yeah, they did. The enemies of Christ knew the tomb was empty. They held a meeting to decide how to deal with it. You know, they even bribed the soldiers to tell an unbelievable lie. You know, friends, Jesus has been lied about, lied to, all of his 30 years on this earth. And what did he do? The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Friends, if you're not saved tonight, you're lost. And if you're not saved, there's a reason you're listening to this broadcast tonight. You say, "Well, Cecil, you know, I'm not such a bad person." Friends, it hasn't got a thing to do with how bad you are. Now, the Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every blessed one of us have sinned. The only sinless, perfect person that ever stepped his foot on earth was Jesus. Now, he wants you to admit that you're a sinner. That's it. And then he wants you to be willing to turn your back on the old life. Just do it about face. You say, "Well, shoot, that's easy." No, it's not. Listen, I knew I was a sinner, a terrible sinner, as an alcoholic, but I didn't want to admit it. I sure didn't want to admit I was bad. I got a cousin that told me, "Cecil, I'm not so bad." I said, "Honey, it doesn't have a thing to do about being bad. Believe me, have you not accepted Jesus? You're lost. As simple as that. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner saved by grace. It's as simple as that." Now, you know the difference between a lost man and a saved man? A saved man has peace. in his heart. Well, you can't get peace in your heart when you have a heart of stone. No, you can't. See, when we repent of our sins and we call upon Jesus to save us, he removes that heart of stone and puts in the heart of flesh. Then you can understand the Bible. Then the Spirit of God lives in you, are quickened and made alive according to the book of Ephesians. You are made alive. Now you're no longer dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, friends, listen. I never dreamed when I walked into that preacher's home, drunk out of my mind at 3 o'clock in the morning. I never dreamed that 3 hours later I'd be freed up. My sins would be all under the blood, washed clean the snow. I never dreamed that. And when he kept saying, Cecil, God loves you. God loves you. I said, no, he doesn't love me. And then the preacher wanted to know why I felt that way. Well, I said, preacher, if God loved me so much, why did he take my sister by death? Why did he take my dear sweet mother by death at a young age? Why would my dad marry the meanest woman this side of hell? And she used to beat me and abuse me and all these things. And now I said, I've lost my family. Now I'm a hopeless alcoholic. He said, Cecil, God loves you. And I recall the 3 sermons that I heard preached in my sister and my mom and my dad's funeral. I remember the preacher, every one of them said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Well, you know, I was troubled. And I didn't know how he could tell me, don't let your heart be troubled. But my heart was completely broken. Now, years later, after I received Christ as Savior, that really made a lot of sense to me. Friends, I know many of us never had a mansion on earth. We haven't had a lot of money. We haven't had a lot of luxuries that many, many rich people experience. But friends, I wouldn't trade the peace in my heart with all the millions that these people have. I told you a long time ago, my brother used to drive for a big outfit, Asbury. They sold gasoline, had gasoline tankers. This guy was a multimillionaire. He had a beautiful, beautiful big yacht tied up in a dock in San Francisco, California. He didn't have any sickness. He had no financial worries. He walked down in the cabin of that luxurious yacht, took a gun, stuck the barrel in his mouth, and blew his brains out. Why? Why? The man had no peace. I remember speaking at you ever heard of a hippie house? Well, these were a whole bunch of hippies. This church had given him this building. And they were smoking pot, and they were having a ball, and I was to be their speaker. And I went down to this dark room with all these strobe lights. I thought I'd lost my mind. But on the wall, I could see the word peace written. And so I got up before these yuppies and hippies and whatever they were. And I said, you know, friends, you people have something written on the wall that I'm familiar with. And that word is peace. And I said, I found peace the day I got on my knees and told Jesus I was sorry for my sins and accepted him. Did you know 5 of those hippies that morning came and gave their heart to Christ? Yes, friends, when a person believes in this resurrected Savior, they have a new life. See, they continue to lie, you know, about Jesus, and they'd said this and they said that. But we have eyewitnesses' account. Now, eyewitness testimony holds up in court. I'll guarantee it does. Well, who are these eyewitnesses? Well, first of all, they were the women who came to the tomb. Now, you can fool a lot of people some of the time, but not all the time. And they sure knew that that tomb was empty. They saw it with their own eyes. And they even saw the angel of the Lord. Yes, sir. The grave clothes, it was all, his grave clothes was there and everything. Peter and John on the road, and John there, in John the 20th chapter, Peter and John, they heard about it. You remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus? They were talking with the Lord, and they didn't even know it. And they said, my, didn't something, just a burning in my chest. Oh, friends, listen to me. When you go to a church service, and you won't always do this in a church service, where the Holy Spirit of God is in presence, the Holy Spirit of God brings peace to a person's heart, and the pastor gets up and preaches a message inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, there's an awe. You can feel the very presence of the Lord. Oh, friends, would you believe it that I feel that way when I and my quartet, my wife, go to prison? I can feel the very presence of the Lord. Is it because the kids are singing or I'm preaching or my wife is speaking? No. It's because we invite Him to be there. We ask Him to be there. We ask Him to convict the hearts of men and women who are lost, doomed, and damned on the road to hell. And you can feel the very presence of the Lord. You know, Thomas didn't believe until he touched the side and the hands of Jesus. But in 1 Corinthians 15:17, there was more than 500 other people who saw the resurrection, resurrected Savior. James and all of the apostles saw it. Paul on the road to Damascus. Listen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you tonight after the broadcast to get your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and read the whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It will bless your heart. Well, let me ask you, why would anyone doubt these honest people? Now, the energizing of the disciples. See, the disciples had been devastated by the crucifixion, and who wouldn't have? Absolutely, who wouldn't have? Now, they had forsaken Christ and fled, and I read in Matthew 26:56. Then the high priest tore the robe, saying, he has blasphemed, for what further need do we have of witness? Behold, we have now heard the blasphemy. And what do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. Listen, the resurrection changed everything. Fear was changed to faith. Now they had remembered what Jesus had told them, but they couldn't quite gather it in their mind. They couldn't believe that Jesus was going to have to go to the cross and die. They thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, but that's not what he came to do. He sure did. Well, doubters were changed to dynamic witnesses. These former cowards became courageous. Hey, friends, you know, I remember I was preaching a revival in Hamilton, Washington one time. And I used to be the youth director for our association. We had about 100 young people. And I used to take them to rest homes. And they'd sing and testify. We had such a wonderful time. But this girl, she said, you know, Cecil, I sure wished I had the strength and the courage to witness for the Lord. I said, I tell you what, tonight I want you to come to the meeting and I want you to pray that God will give you the courage to say something for Jesus. And I didn't look to me like she was going to get up. And I said, maybe we have one more testimony tonight. And this little girl, this teenage girl, jumped up and said, I love Jesus, and sat down. I said, what a wonderful testimony. Do you know that that's all it took for that girl's life to be a witness for Christ? Friends, listen. You don't have to depend upon yourself to be a witness. You don't. He'll give you the words that you need. and he will draw the hearts. You see, folks, really, all we are is messengers for Jesus. That's all I am. I'm sure not a great preacher, but I like to tell people what Jesus did for me. That's why Paul always testified one day on that road to Damascus. And I do, wherever I go. My wife and I was out at an alpaca farm the other day, and the two women took me back and was showing me these beautiful little alpacas. And it just seemed to me, here's the time. So I said, ladies, I want to tell you what I found, and I told about Jesus. They stood there for about 10 minutes, and then I reached my pocket and I pulled out the movie Against All Hope and pulled out the unshackled tape, and I said, take this home and listen to it, and you'll find out what Jesus Christ did for me. There was nothing hard about that. Do you know, friends, what, you know, I've told you this many times, but I'll tell you again. What my daily prayer is this: Lord, give me holy boldness. Fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit, and do me with power on high. And, oh God, give me precious souls for my hire. Friends, that prayer really works. Oh, yes, it does. Well, these people were willing to lay their lives on the line. People do not die for a lie, do they? Thousands saved because of these people's witness. And the church exists today because of this change. Now, the greatest proof of the resurrection of Jesus is the change Christ makes in lives today. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Oh, friends, I'm living proof that this gospel is true. One day, a hopeless alcoholic. 3 years later, I was pastoring a church and teaching others to be soul winners for Christ. Yes, he arose. Yes, he has conquered death and hell. Yes, he stands at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I today. You have a broken heart. Take it to Jesus. You need a job? Come to Jesus with it. If you're sick, come to Jesus with it. But always bring your troubles and your problems to the Lord. And you're telling about the good things. Do you know what a guy told me the other day? You know, Cecil, I don't want to bother the Lord with all my problems. The other people have greater problems. Look it. If you know Jesus personally, you will come to him with your disappointments, your heartaches. You'll bring your joys to him. You'll tell him you love him. You say, oh, you got to be kidding. I'm a man. You mean I'm supposed to tell God I love him? Well, if you love him, you should. Oh, yes, you should. Well, I tell you, when you meet the living Christ by faith, you are a different man. You are a different woman. You're a different child. You will be another infallible proof of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Friends, listen. You say, Cecil, you know, you make it sound God is simple. Well, it is simple. I know, because I was down at the bottom. You couldn't get much further down. You know, I go to AA meetings because I have to. I go because I like to witness to alcoholics. And then I say, well, I guess, Cecil, I haven't reached the bottom. I said, you are on the bottom. Anytime you're an alcoholic, anytime you're a drug addict, anytime you're a whoremonger, anytime you're a lesbian, a homosexual, you are on the bottom. And where do? You look up. You can't go down any deeper, just look up. I remember the morning I asked Jesus to come to my heart. I told him, I said, Lord, if you're up there, here's my heart, here's my life. You got me lock, stock, and barrel, and I meant that. Oh, I never knew what that decision was going to do to me. Boy, howdy, that very day God gave me back my wife and my family. That very day I went out and witnessed to an alcoholic and a friend of mine, and later had the privilege of bringing him to Christ. Friends, listen. I want you to understand there is more to Christianity than just going to church, just reading your Bible, just praying. There's that working part of your life. You know, I get tired, sure, when I go out and preach. I get tired. When I was a director of the mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, I preached 365 days a year. I had 3 radio broadcasts. I traveled and preached revivals. I never so busy in my life, and it was the happiest days of my life. Now, I'm 81. I had to slow down, but I'm still happy telling about Jesus because the message never gets old. Oh, my stars. I love John 3:16 so much, for God so loved those Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. Put your name in there. Friends, listen, let me ask you this. Are you going to heaven when you die? I'm asking you a personal, very personal question. Are you going to heaven when you die? The Bible said this is written that you may know that you pass from death unto life. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Now, if you're not born again and you feel a real old tugging at your heart and you want peace with God and you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life, I want you to pray this powerful prayer, but please don't pray it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done in my life that's been wrong. I'm sorry the way I treated you and the way I treated my family. But tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on a phone and call 303-471-8534. Tell me what you did. Now listen, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. Friends, only I'm concerned about is where you spend eternity. So if you feel I can help you spiritually, get on the phone and call me at 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.